So now I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to be honest with me. You know when you're sitting in a cafe on your own or at your desk in work and someone beside you is having a private conversation, what do you do? Do you cover your ears? Do you walk away? Do you try your damnedest not to hear what's being said? Or do you lean in just a little bit closer to earwig in on the conversation? By the way, for those who aren't... haven't been with the programme. I thought they liked the picking. My voice is gone. Sorry about this. But we have somebody here who can talk much better than me. So I'm going to let her do the talking. Anyway, the late Mae Binchy, who isn't here, by the way, she admitted that she used to eavesdrop frequently on conversations and even went so far as to learn to lip read. Fantastic. So she could hone her eavesdropping skills. So basically eavesdropping, that's what I want to talk about. Is it an acceptable pastime? Or is it something we should be ashamed of doing? The journalist and self-professed eavesdropper Larissa Nolan. I love it all. Self-professed eavesdropper Larissa Nolan. Gosh, I'm leaving it here.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear that I'm in good company with Maeve.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you have been pondering the practice here of eavesdropping. And first of all, give us this thing here about not so much Maeve, because she obviously would know, I'd say. The word itself, eavesdropping, what the hell is that about?
It's a very old-sounding word, isn't it? And it is old. It's from the Middle English. So it started off as a thing. It was the water that fell from the eaves of a house, and then it became a place. So it became the place where the water falls beside the house, and then it became a person, who is the person who hangs around the eaves of a house,
really?
Listening to other people's conversations. It's got a lovely background, actually, because it comes from the Old Norse. So it's a very, very old word, and we still use it now.
So it's nog on the nog kind of stuff. Okay,
yeah.
Eavesdropping, it is taking over the world. Is that what you genuinely believe, yeah?
Well, I think it is, because if you look at any of the great scandals in the last couple of years, they've all involved some form of eavesdropping. So even if you look at the more serious side of it, you'd have in Ireland, we'll say, the GSOC bugging scandal, right. And then you have the Levinson inquiry and
I see where you're going with this now.
It's not just me.
I think there's somebody on a bus.
That's where it starts, but yeah. I suppose it shows you the power that can go from just, you know, as a normal person listening, or abnormal person perhaps, listening to other people's conversation on a bus, to actually all the way up to the likes of the US government listening into the 35 world leaders' phone conversations, which I'd say would have made very interesting listening indeed.
The US national security people, they did bug. That's all been proved. They did, no question.
Well, I hope so, or else I'll be in serious trouble now.
Let me throw in the word allegedly.
They did,
absolutely. Yeah. Now, social media, smartphones, instant messaging apps and that. I mean, we're talking more ways to gather security intelligence than ever before, right?
Well, this is it. And as well as that, a lot of people have conversations now over social media, in, you know, Facebook chat and all these kind of things. So they can all be recorded and listened into if you wanted to go down that road. However, the kind of eavesdropping that I would be more partial to, and I think
hold on, just
would.
To stay with the one that you just mentioned there, because like the equivalent of a paper trail is completely there, isn't it? With all
that's the extra bit now. Is that beforehand, I suppose you could say you heard something, but it was only you saying you heard something. Whereas now you can say, I know this conversation happened and I have now proof of it, which is really, really scary.
Right. Okay, well, listen, presumably you weren't involved in any part of the Levinson inquiry, though you never know. You might have been in your job, who knows? You're not part of the US national security team or anything like that. When do you eavesdrop?
For all the time.
I was just going to say, yeah, when do I not?
All the time, really. If I'm out and about in a, you know, any kind of social situation or just in the general public. And the thing is, I'm not a nosy person and I'm not a sneaky person. So you would think to yourself, if you're not nosy and you're not sneaky, why would you eavesdrop? But I think it's a completely different thing, because you are getting an insight into somebody else's life. It's kind of like, it's like reading a book in a way. You hear a little bit of a snapshot of somebody else's life. You're never going to see them again. Your listening hasn't affected their lives, and everybody can just, you know, get on with it afterwards. But I think the thing about it is that, you know, it's like if you're bored, a little bit bored, or if you're on your own, you can sort of dip into a person's conversation without actually having to contribute to that conversation yourself. So I think I do it all the time, but a bit like what you were saying earlier on about Maeve learning to lip read.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how far have you gone with this?
I haven't gone quite as far as lip reading yet, but certainly I have managed over the years to have honed the skills enough to be able to have a conversation with one person while listening to the conversation beside me of another person. So I can be completely involved in one conversation with my friends, but also my other ear is listening to what perhaps the person beside me is saying.
But it's a pretty weird thing that when people, if they go out for a meal or something and want to have a serious talk about something, that they'd much rather go to a restaurant that's full than a restaurant that's kind of more or less kind of empty. So here's you here, sitting in front of somebody here, and on your left and on your right, another two couples or whatever.
Yeah.
How engaged are you with the person you're with if, for instance, all of the time you actively want to be going right and left as well?
That's probably a good question, and one maybe I should ask myself more seriously. But maybe the other thing I would do is if I'm with somebody, I'll probably drag them into the eavesdropping. You know, I'll pull them along with me. I'll say, listen, do you hear the fella beside him here is telling the wife, you know, he's on his way out, or he's telling the missus this is that or whatever. I'd always bring the person in, or, you know, even just say, what do you think these two people are? Do you think they're colleagues? Do you think they're friends? Are they brother and sister? Are they going out with each other? And, you know, you can get other people who are with you. You can kind of drag them into your eavesdropping as well. So that's something that I would have been guilty of in the past.
It's like it's substitute the word drinking for eavesdropping, and you kind of have it. Yeah. You don't feel too bad if the other guy's drinking as much as you are. Okay, it's sneaky and you're not particularly proud of it, but you're hooked. I mean, you know, have you ever seen the movie A Bug's Life, or even Father Ted? Like in A Bug's Life, there's this light and the kind of, like, don't go near the light, I can't help it.
Yeah.
Okay, or Father Ted, don't press the red button.
Yeah.
You just can't help, you have to get engaged in this.
I think it's just something that's innate in me, and I'm not sure if that's partly to do with jobs. Maybe people who are writers and journalists and such like do that. So maybe, you know.
No, I'm going to burst your bubble, Hilary. Everyone
does it. Okay, well, that's good.
I was trying to make you feel like kind of a bit weird.
I suppose maybe certain people, though, who enjoy story. Well, everyone does. Anyone who enjoys a kind of a mini drama.
Oh, I'm going to get to that now because I want to ask that. 51552, by the way, is our number, or at Dave Fanning Show. If you do, if you don't, if you shouldn't have, if you found out something incredible like a national security secret, etc. But that thing about the novel, one of the reasons why you might read a great novel from Dickens or anybody in the past is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. To get, you know, an understanding of other people's lives. You also get, I mean, it gives you a great understanding of two people's points of view, because when you're hearing all different people's points of view, you can really understand where other people are coming from in life. And I think it's kind of good for you in general to kind of be more understanding of other people. There's my justification for
it. Your Honour. Okay, but like the whole thing about that then would be that, like, if it is that way, and if you only hear one side of it, the one side of a thing is different because of the phones these days on trains and stuff, and you're trying to fill in everything.
Oh, yeah. And actually, funny that, because scientists believe that's even more seductive for our brains, that when we only hear half of the story, it's like having half of the picture, so that we're in fact even more hooked on listening to the conversation, because neurologically our brains are trying to piece together the other side of the puzzle. Now, I wouldn't find that myself. I would find that kind of just more sort of frustrating than anything else. I prefer to hear the whole thing. But apparently, as a listener, you listen more if you can only hear one side of the conversation.
Right, but it's really what you said, the seduction of the brain. That is actually really what it's all about, filling in the blanks, etc. With those kind of. In fact, there's a guy here this morning, look, writing in the Times this morning, and his name is Matt Rudd, and he's gone on about this morning.
Oh, he's brilliant, actually. Yeah, so can I just say that, because I love Matt Rudd.
Right, okay. He says, I killed a man on a train, he says. This morning I killed a man on a train, in my head. I clubbed him to death with his iPhone. It took ages, and when it was over, my fellow commuters applauded despite the blood. What was this man, this terrible man, doing to deserve his protracted eye bludgeoning? Was his music too loud? Was he eating a Whopper with cheese? No, he was sending texts, and he hadn't turned the typing clicker thing off. Now, isn't that the thing that Tom Hanks is selling these days? I think he has some kind of a nap. So this sort of low-level insidious noise is clinically proven to be more irritating than outright cacophony. And he goes on to talk about how annoying it might be. But the full whack of everybody with phones and stuff on public transport and all the rest of it, it is a very strange one, because the phone thing, the guys are usually talking very loud.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how, where scientists are coming up with this thing that we're actually more interested to hear one side of the conversation, because just like Matt Rudd, I would find that just irritating. You don't want to hear half a conversation. That's no good. You want to hear the whole thing.
If you don't do Sudoku, you can fill in the stuff with that. Anyway, you think it's human nature, basically, to eavesdrop, do you? For everybody.
I think it is. I think it's a human nature, a natural curiosity, and also probably there's a little bit of an adrenaline rush to it, I think. You know, there is an illegal thrill in listening to somebody because of the very fact that they don't know that you're listening to them. So they're speaking completely uncensored, totally freely, and you're hearing everything. So I think that does provide a bit of an illegal thrill. It's called, actually, there's a phrase for it. It's called perceptual trespassing, which I think kind of sums up.
Perceptual trespassing. Are you the kind of person who, when you're out somewhere by yourself, you like to have a book?
I do. I'll always
have a
book.
And do you find yourself kind of eavesdropping completely when you don't have that book?
Yeah, no, you have summed me up completely.
If you're sitting by yourself, you're going to eavesdrop.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like when somebody's reading the paper in front of you, and no matter what they're reading, it looks more interesting to you because you don't have the paper in your hand.
Yeah, no, that is true. But it's certainly the case that if you've got nothing more to occupy your mind, you'll definitely say, I'm not leaving my book at home. Rats. What'll I do? Oh, your man next to me in the table is, you know, explaining his life story. And, you know, it can be really young people or really old people. It, yeah. It doesn't really matter who they are.
All right. You're sitting in a coffee shop. You're by yourself. Two people over there who are not anyway part of you. And one of them is saying something. You say, that's kind of interesting. Would you order another coffee in order to hear more of the conversation that's taking place?
I have. I would and I have. I was just thinking recently about one of the best ones that I ever heard over all my many years of eavesdropping was a very elderly lady who must have been in her 80s, and she sat down with her very irritable kind of daughter who was sort of very frustrated with her mother being slow at doing this, that and the other, everything. She couldn't do anything right. So she was complaining about how she couldn't use text properly, and she was saying, look, you never answer your phone, you never answer your text, you don't even know how to send texts. And she pulled up her text and she said, look at these, even from your friend. I think she had something like BNBS, I think was the text that she had on her phone. She said, that doesn't even make sense, BNBS. And the mother just looked at her. She was a very elegant looking older woman, actually. And she said, that says Bonnie Notte, Bella Signora. And she said, that was from my time in Italy. I met a lovely man last week. And I have to say, that completely shut the daughter up. She didn't have any more words.
It shut you up too, probably. Yeah.
Well, I was just sitting there going, for some reason, it was one of the greatest little snapshots that I'd heard. And I thought it would make a really good short story, actually.
It already does. I was just thinking, like, now that's very maybe and she's right. So hold on a second. So, like, oh, that's fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
I love that.
She was lovely. And she was a gorgeous looking woman. So just to really put, you know, just to top it off on the way out as well, after drinking my second coffee and listening to the daughter with her talking with her tail between her legs, I made sure to go up to the elderly lady and just to say how fantastic she looked, because she had wonderful clothes and wonderful style, and her background, I'd say, would have been actually really interesting.
You didn't say what a fantastic killer Oscar Wilde line to your daughter there. You didn't go
no,
that
I
far.
No, I didn't come out with that one, no.
Ah, you should, God's sake.
I should have.
Yeah, talk about, that's a brilliant way to shut her up. All right. Sorry, I wasn't going to say, yes, the text here is what I mentioned. We're talking to Larissa Nolan here, and you're allowed to listen to us, although we are talking eavesdropping here, so I'm doing this.
I'm just wondering if anyone, is anyone listening, or are they all face down in fields in Leash at this present moment?
A bit of that, all right. Yeah, I got back here. I've got to go back down. Look, what if you overhear something about yourself when you're not supposed to hear something? That's tricky, says somebody there who obviously has fallen into that trap or done it themselves.
Oh, that kind of reminds me of the when you get the text from somebody about you.
That you
it has never happened to me, thank God. Or you send one to somebody else, a little bit like that.
Have you never sent a wrong text?
I never have.
You must be joking.
No, I never have.
God, even this week I said, sorry, wrong person, as in whatever I said about that other person I meant, but I've nothing I can do.
I have
do
so
about
many
that.
Things going on, Dave. If I sent a wrong text, it could just be explosive.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Can you tell when other people are doing it to you?
I don't think they do, because I tend not.
You don't think they do.
I don't think
like
they do.
Like, you're immune from being eavesdropped.
Well, I mean, I keep.
What do you think here?
I'm always really aware of people around me listening, because I'm always listening.
Oh, that's cheating. If you're going to steal, you've got to contribute.
Yeah, well, that's true. Now, there was, I remember one occasion, maybe you see, it could be being caught without realising you're being caught, because I remember one occasion I was having a great chat with a man in a bar, and we were getting very romantic in our conversations in the corner, and there happened to be an elderly man sitting beside us, which we didn't notice because we were too busy, you know, being romantic. And he then got up in the middle of the conversation and started huffing and puffing about dirty talking. What's that about? And get away, I'm disgusted. And it actually wasn't at all, but
what exactly were you saying to each other?
It was very nice. It was very very gentlemanly, really? Ladylike.
And what were you? Were you mortified? Were you at feck you, or were you what?
I have to say I was mortified. I was completely dumbstruck, to be honest, because I didn't realise he was there, for starters, which just goes to show you.
But so you were literally dumbstruck, and that's
completely.
It. And you've learned your lesson, is that it?
I think that definitely taught me a lesson, and, you know, always to keep an eye around and see if there's a third person lurking behind the fella whose eyes you're staring into.
See, the way I see it is, you reach a certain age, I don't give two hoots if anybody hears what I say. If
really?
Anybody wants to hack into all my emails, that go right ahead.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem, you can feck off. I'm staying
well,
here.
Well, this is it. But that's how I always wanted to make this point about eavesdropping. It's completely separate to actually opening texts or reading emails. It's a totally different thing, because...
Hold on a second.
I think it is, anyway.
Do you open other people's texts?
No, I don't. I never would. This is the thing is, I wouldn't dream of doing that, because you'd be asking for trouble if you did that.
Do you open
you know?
Other people's emails?
Never. Right. Even if somebody who I really wanted to see their emails left their email open, I just would not do it, because you would read something out of context, and then it, you know, all hell would break loose. So that's a completely different thing, because that kind of sets off a cause and effect, you know, whereas with just listening in on a conversation, there is no harm done, I think, to either party. So
Yeah, I'm just trying to see just how where your moral barometer is in all
I know,
this.
I wonder.
I'm not quite getting it. So, like, would you have to feel as though, like, you know, you're there talking with somebody, and there's one guy or one person just near to your right. The most likely thing, no matter what paper they're reading or no matter what they're doing, they're probably hearing what you're saying, let alone most likely listening. So, therefore, have you developed strategies to thwart an eavesdropper by any stretch of the imagination, Larissa?
Well, I suppose there have been times if there was something sensitive to be discussed, you definitely just keep your voice very low and whisper.
But hold on a second, the minute in 2FM, I'll tell you, or RTE, if anybody's talking low, they're dissing somebody. There's a lot of low talk around these places.
The thing is,
talking low is more guilty.
I would know, right, that whispering can kind of be heard more. And I know this from my own experience. Whispering can be sort of heard more than mumbling. So if you want to keep something quiet, mumbling is a better strategy than, you know, the whispers can be heard fairly clearly. But so I suppose maybe you just keep mumbling if you have to say something. But a little bit like yourself, I think as well as that, a lot of the time, I probably don't really care that much if somebody hears a lot of what I'm saying. Once it's not that sensitive, it's okay.
I don't give a damn, frankly. Everybody, okay, just one last little question. It's like eavesdropping. Are there times when it is genuinely a good thing to do and not just justified, but right?
Yeah, and there is only, if I can think of one, there was one example that happened over the years again.
You're not going to libel someone, are you?
No, I'm not going to at all. No, somebody was actually, had a case with somebody else and they were being completely, being totally pushed away and being told that, you know, there was no chance and this case was ridiculous and so on and so forth. And weirdly, I was sitting somewhere really public, like somewhere like Bewley's, I think, on Grafton Street. And a guy came in who I kind of semi-recognised as one of the characters in the case on the opposing side and sat beside me with the solicitor, and they took out all the documents and started going through the reasons why they had made an error and why this person had been wronged, and not only just talked about it but actually gave reasons why in the course of events, you know, sequence of events. So in that case, whereas normally I'd walk away from maybe listening to somebody with, you know, not take anything from it, I thought in that case that I had to actually go back and tell my friend, look, come here, they know they've wronged you. You know that they've wronged you. So, you know, let's sort this out. So he didn't end up having to go to court and he was reimbursed or whatever.
Good on Larissa, saving the day.
Yes.
All right, there's a few here. You won't like this one. 5-1. I think that woman is very rude and can't mind her own business.
Well, you know, a lot of people might agree there.
All right, so one here. I remember being on a train one time and I was listening to a guy talking to his girlfriend on a phone, convincing her he wasn't sleeping with someone else. After the conversation stopped, he then went through his phone and deleted loads of messages and then took condoms out of his bag and put them into his pocket. Unreal. I was standing right beside where he was sitting and that's how I could see everything he was doing so clearly. There was me standing there pregnant, wanting to grab his phone and call his girlfriend and let her know what he'd done.
Oh my God, that's one of the best ones ever.
Yeah, I know. Here is a great YouTube video where a man in an airport goes up to people who are talking loudly on their phones and sits beside them and has the other half of the conversation that they are having with fantastic results. The people on the phone have no idea what's going on. I'd like to see that. Larissa Nolan. Listen, Larissa, thank you very much indeed for dropping in to talk to us on the programme this morning. Very good.